You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wait a minute. It's over? We were just getting started.
I'm just getting warmed up.
What $75 million in year one means for Dak Prescott. Also, if you're sad Dak and the Cowboys is over, Seahawks letter to season ticket holders, no mention of Russell Wilson. Let's go.
Sequel might be better than the original here.
I watched Coming to America last night. Not the case there.
$75 million in 1 year. That's what Dak Prescott will get by December 31 of 2021. That's unheard of money in the NFL. Some athletes whose on-field earnings have reached $75 in a year, Messi and Neymar. So what are we talking about with that? How Dak got it, how Jerry gave it up. I know this is just breaking Tim Kalischer. It was so sudden and rushed these 3 years. What does it mean for Dak? What does it mean for Jerry?
They went by us in a flash, Tony, and now it's over. And my main takeaway about 24 hours after this is that for all the people out there that are mad at the Cowboys still, and not mad because they overpaid, we can figure that out if they did or didn't, but mad because they didn't sign him sooner. Let me explain something, Tony. The game is out there. You either play or you get played. And Dak and his agent played it to perfection because the game is a waiting game. You turn down Goff and Wentz money. You turn down Russell Wilson money. And you wait and wait, and the Cowboys eventually will cave in. And that, so it's a glorious day for Dak. And as you talked about, $75 million. It's not a bad day for the Cowboys in 2021 because the salary cap hits only $22 million. It gets up there pretty quickly after that. And that's when we have to see what kind of team they have around it.
And what type of day is it for Jerry Jones? Can we please speak to Jerry Jones here?
Well, Tony, it's a good day here in Dallas regardless. $75 million, it's a big number. It's a big number I had to pull out of that checkbook.
Do you think Jerry believes it's a good day in his heart of hearts, or do you believe he just got taken to the cleaners?
Yes. No, Jerry likes when he gets to say he's got the highest paid running back. He's got the highest paid, briefly, defensive end edge rusher. And now he's got the quarterback with the biggest bonus ever, the biggest one-year salary ever. It makes the team sound like it's something special, Tony. And I'll worry about January accomplishments later.
I want to get back to Tim Kalischer on how special, but now Clinton Yates on what it means for Dak, what it means for Jerry Jones.
I love the idea of Jerry pulling out an actual checkbook and maybe an actual huge check to hand over to him, like a big PR stunt, because that's how he likes to do things. But what it means is that this team is out of excuses from a conversational standpoint as to why they should not be winning. You've signed everybody. We've waited forever. Dak's coming back off injury. This should be the best team we've seen after we've spent way too many minutes on this particular program talking about things that have not happened. Now, however, that is the case. They've got all their weapons there. The expectations right now, in my opinion, have to be at the top. They're certainly going to win the division because that is a garbage division. But, yeah, it's a big time now. Let's get it.
Certain. Okay. At least you're certain they're going to win the division. Israel Gutierrez, 4 years, $160 million, 126 guaranteed. What does it mean for Dak Prescott?
I mean, I feel like the numbers are empty in the NFL anyway, so I'm going to skip right over that. I also think, speaking of numbers, Tim did not get enough points for that Jerry Jones impression. That was spot on. What I think is supposed to happen in Dallas is there's supposed to be some calm for a minute. And I understand that the idea of, you know, hey, winning a Super Bowl or a bust is not really a relaxing thought, but you actually have, as Clinton said, you've got the offensive pieces signed. Yes, you have to build a defense, but, and I know we're not into reading here, Tony, but I want to read something from the Todd Archer column that he wrote about this. He said, after Troy Aikman retired, the Cowboys started Quincy Carter, Anthony Wright, Ryan Leaf, Clint Sterner, Chad Hutchinson, Vinny Testaverde, Drew Henson, and Drew Bledsoe before they lucked into Tony Romo. Okay, this Dak signing is some stability for a good amount of time. They didn't really know what they had with Tony Romo. It feels like you know what you have with Dak. You can move forward and look at the rest of the NFC. Outside of the NFC West, for the next few years, it seems that's a gettable conference, especially when you've got this amount of talent on the offensive side. So I think it was a no-brainer. It's great for Dak to sit out through an injury and still win this negotiation. But for the Cowboys, should be a near future of a lot of
work. Emily Kaplan.
I just think everything has changed for Dak. Look, I don't think he would want to go back to the last 3 years with this unnecessary stress and unrelenting media coverage. But now the landscape has changed and the pressure has changed. He's no longer the rookie who replaced Tony Romo, who's no longer the fourth rounder who's overachieving. He's no longer the quarterback that Jerry Jones is disrespecting in contract negotiations. He's just another quarterback at the Dallas Cowboys, paid a lot of money, and everyone's going to start asking, why are you not winning?
Realistic expectations, and the word realistic is a realistic word here, Ketiv Kalisha. For the team paying him $126 million guaranteed, how can they pull that off with the rest of the roster?
I'm not right now, even as far as Clinton is, to give him the division. I want to see what the Washington football team has for a quarterback. We know they have a defense. Yes, they should.
Wow.
They should win their division. Nine wins will probably do it. We've seen how this division plays out. The West is loaded. But the key thing for the Cowboys here is that all the good young quarterbacks other than Kyler Murray are in the AFC. And another one's coming in Trevor Lawrence. And that is where the battle is going to be waged. And Dak being 28, it's going to be him and Russell Wilson and Kyler kind of in the prime of their careers. And let's see who wins.
Quinn Yates.
If you're living in a world in which you're afraid of the Washington football team's quarterback situation, after you just paid a guy with this much pedigree, this much money, what is the point at that stage? Come on, Tim.
Israel?
Look, you're going into next year, and the Cowboys are going to pay Dak Prescott less than what the Eagles are going to pay to get rid of Carson Wentz. Okay, so in terms of next year, they're in a decent position. After that, you assume with fans coming back, salary cap going up, numbers might be a little different, can absolutely, with a couple of good drafts, really round out this team. I'm not worried about the completion of this team around Dak Prescott because Dak had to be there for it to be a Super Bowl contender.
Let me ask you this. What does this deal mean for players? I mean, last year we had the Mahomes deal, which was nearly $500 million, and that's a big end dollar value. And this deal, though, I mean, $75 million in 1 year. Dak's getting more than Mahomes this 1 year. Emily, does it change how players in the landscape of the league have power in this league?
Yes and no. I think that it's the quarterback, right? You always pay your quarterback. It's the most important position in sports. For the Cowboys, I'd have more issue with the way they allocated other money to their offensive skill position. I mean, Amari Cooper making more than 10% of the cap is a little rich, especially considering they got CeeDee Lamb, and no one should be spending that much money on a running back.
And Tim, last word.
Yeah, again, this is a better deal than Mahomes got. Dak is going to be a free agent when he's 32, and he's, again, betting that he's going to have four good years, and we talk about all the time about the risk of getting hurt. He broke his leg. He missed 3 months. He still got paid. Maybe it's not that great.
Everybody's in agreement this is a better deal than the Mahomes deal. I'm seeing you all nod along. Patrick Mahomes, get back in that office right now. It's a restructure. All right, we've been horned. Real quick, just need to get it on the record. 4-year contract. So do the Cowboys win a Super Bowl in 4 years? I'm going to leave Tim for last. Yates.
Appearance, yes. Win, no.
Kaplan.
Sure.
Goody Harris.
Nobody will remember this. Yes.
Sib Kalisha.
I've only been a columnist 23 years here. I've never seen them play in a Super Bowl. I don't see it happening in the next
one. Wow, there you go. And I'm muting Kaplan and Goody Harris for mocking the game that we have here. We'll move on. All right, everything we just learned, apply it to the Seahawks. Letter to season ticket holders. DK Metcalf mentioned, Tyler Lockett mentioned, Shane Waldron mentioned, Andy Dickerson mentioned. No mention of Russell Wilson in the copy. Clinton, what is that?
First of all, that's a really long letter, by the by. I mean, couple folds, like 8 paragraphs, that's a lot there. But, I mean, I think what it is it's in vain with all the other stuff we've seen of these, like, sneak disses, leaving guys off of programs, leaving people out of hype videos. I mean, it just says to me that they're cognizant of what's actually going on around them. And so I don't have a huge problem with this because it's real, but overall it seems extremely petty in the larger context. You're going to use that many words, and you can't even bring up the best player on your team's name? That's weird.
Israel?
I mean, it is petty is the word that I thought of. And it's like, why can't you just try to improve the relationship with your quarterback through your letter to season ticket holders? And why do we have to be so darn honest to season ticket holders in these letters? Why can't they just read about it like everybody else does and say, hey, maybe we'll still have Russell Wilson? Now you don't put his name in there. Now they all think, oh, darn it, we're not going to have him.
Emily?
You guys keep saying they. Let's remember who wrote this letter. It's the owner. He's sending a message. Like, can we just talk about what Russell Wilson's agent did? He said, yes, my client's happy here, but here's four other places where he'd be happy. That's really insulting. And so this is the owner sending a message to the fan base saying, yes, our relationship is fractured. And yes, maybe you should get used to him not being our quarterback of the future. It's like when you break up with someone, you usually send some messages along the way and hints so that when it happens, the rug's not pulled out right in front of you.
Are we speaking from experience here? What was that? Okay, that is news I can use.
What are some of these hints that you're talking about?
Tim Kalishaw, how do you read the season ticket holders?
The Seahawks are more familiar with litigation and these things than most. I believe they're still sending regular checks to Texas A&M for the whole 12th man thing. So they don't want to put it in a letter, come see Russell Wilson and come buy your suites and get your seat licenses. And then find out, oh, we don't really have Russell Wilson.
So
trying to stem the litigation.
So it was Dallas on that list of four teams. They're now off. So now it's a list of three teams that he'd be all right with trading, but it's not a trade request. But if I was, is there any movement here, Clinton Yates, or in the end, do you still believe Russell Wilson will be with Seattle come September?
A lot of hot air. I think he'll still be there, and they might not like it.
Israel?
No, I definitely think that he wants out. It definitely seems that way. I'm Seattle. I'm doing everything I can to keep
him. I thought you guys were being sarcastic with me when I asked that Cowboys prediction before. Emily, Israel, am I picking up something that's not there? I mean, the way you said, sure, why not? I'll just answer your question, really.
It's really hard to predict two or three years down the road.
I tell you what I feel.
You tell me what you feel. I'll give you the
kind of like Frank Pantangelo.
Apologize. Yeah. Taking a break right here. Buy or sell on the other side. Yates and Kalishaw taking down the monarchy right now.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
News of the day from Lawrence, Kansas. Les Miles out as football coach. The LSU investigation into allegations of inappropriate behavior towards female students from his time there, ending his time at Kansas. As the fallout continues, where are your thoughts, Clint Yates?
What I'm selling here is the Kansas vetting process. They claim that they didn't know anything about this. Les Miles' attorneys claim that they did. So either they knew about it and ignored it, or their vetting process did not allow them to find something this major. All in all, that's a problem. You got to figure out who's going to hire the next person, because obviously the last job you did was terrible and embarrassing on every level.
Tim Kalishaw.
I feel like this should have taken about 5 minutes instead of 3 or 4 days. They eventually did the right thing. But once you read that a football coach at LSU had been told he could not be alone with female students in the same room on a college campus, you may need to get that person off campus and keep him off campus.
Emily Kaplan.
My two takeaways from the report is, one, Les Miles is a creep, and two, astounding failures from higher education, which enabled a football coach because he was successful. So if you keep him on campus, one, you're keeping a creep, and two, you're making the same mistakes that LSU made, and if you are having the highest paid state employee on your campus, you're enabling him too.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I'm selling Kansas trying to get into the big-time football scene by overlooking a lot of things, obviously, that Les Miles did. And I'm definitely selling his lawyer, Les Miles' lawyer's defense, that there are different agendas than the people who are trying to frame him for this. Well, I would just like to know what Les's agenda was with these college-age students while he was at LSU. Just explain that agenda, and then maybe we could have a different conversation.
Buy or sell two, the Philadelphia Eagles building around Jalen Hurts this year. No quarterback competition. Owner Jeffrey Lurie says, buy or sell that, Tim?
I got to sell that. I mean, Jalen Hurts played four games for this team last year. They need to see a lot more. I mean, I wouldn't draft a quarterback in the first round. You want to see how he does, but the idea he doesn't need any competition, that it's a done deal, I think that's a big mistake.
Rick Kaplan?
Look, they just ran a guy out of town who they paid a lot of money to, and one of the reasons Carson Wentz failed is because he lost confidence, and all that confidence stemmed from when they drafted Jalen Hurts and guys in the locker room picking sides. So this is them saying, we learned our lesson, we believe in Jalen Hurts, and we're not creating a toxic environment again.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, I'd be okay with sort of an inexpensive backup, maybe a late-round pick or something to give him some competition. But you're talking about they're still paying Carson Wentz a lot of money to go away. So you've got a situation where, hey, you're not one piece away. Might as well go ahead and give Jalen Hurts a try. If you can catch lightning in a bottle with a fourth or fifth-round pick, great. But right now, give him a full year. I don't see a problem with it.
And Clinton, how do you read it? Like Emily said, they learned their lesson. They don't want competition at the quarterback position, or that they need it because of Hurts' relative youth here.
I think it's a combination of both. I think you do this to empower some confidence in this young man, because let's not also forget what happened with Wentz. He was so confident, and he wasn't even the one who won the Super Bowl. And people were looking at that guy like, maybe you should not be talking so much stuff. Hurts is a guy that probably deserves this, considering how much he's hung around and tried to do the right thing.
Well, I've heard it from good accounts that this is a wide-open division. Isn't that right, Tim Kalischow? The team that just paid $75 million for a quarterback
for
1 year can't possibly contend in this division. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, baseball. David Price, who sat out last year, opted out, and was not part of the roster that won the World Series, telling the Dodgers he'll do whatever they want this year. He'll start, he'll bullpen, whatever they need from him is what they're going to get. Emily, how do you hear that?
I hear yesterday we're talking about Trevor Bauer being selfish and distraction, and here comes a sweet prince. And you know what? Last time we saw him in 2019, we thought that he was losing velocity, but he struck out the side in 11 pitches and hit 94 miles on his fastball. Maybe he still has a bigger role.
Listen to you with the spring training stats. Israel, by herself.
Yeah, I see this. I see this as a guy, a veteran guy who knows that he's got a stacked roster in front of him and says, look, I just want to be a part of it. In terms of David Price and his reputation over the years, I feel like it's changed so much. Just being a sort of mentor here to this pitching staff, I think could be a good sort of tail end to his storyline.
D.Y.?
His reputation did change a lot, and the place where it was solidified, in fact, was in Los Angeles when he won a game throwing for the Boston Red Sox. So this guy's a clubhouse guy who everybody around the bigs respects a lot. Trevor Bauer is an extremely good factor because he keeps him in line, too. You know, you want to have David Price around your clubhouse. That tends to be a winning way.
Kalischow.
I hear something like this, and I just think baseball needs a salary cap. And not because teams spend too much, but because too many teams don't spend anything. And that allows a team like the Dodgers to carry a $30 million salary and say, hey, maybe we'll use him in the eighth inning. That'd be a nice fit for David Price this year.
Boston is paying half of it, I guess, so they're paying $15 million of it.
Right.
But that rotation, I mean, they could go seven or eight deep. They could throw out a guy four innings, put the second starter in four innings, and then call it a day.
Calling it a day for Emily Kaplan and Israel Gutierrez
here. Deep rotation
sure,
today, Tony.
Sure. Nobody's going to be watching this. Sure. I'll pick them both to win the Super Bowl. All right. Taking a break here. Showdown is next. Clinton Yates, Tim Kalischow.
Here we go. Here we go.
Hey, Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Clinton Yates, Tim Kalishaw, good luck in showdown. It's so great.
That's a bad shot. Care what anybody says, that's a bad shot.
Well, I guess I was criticized for the right reason for calling Dame's shot in the playoffs a bad shot. It's a great shot. Thumbs up.
If the All-Star game did anything, it ended the Damian Lillard-Paul George feud. So, Clinton Yates, I ask you, hearing George take it back, is it buried and over?
Yes, it's over. The reason why it was over was not just because it was a daggone near half-court shot, not just because he buried it and won the game, he won the series with it, hence the wave. It's been over since then. Come on.
TC?
I hate to be captured out here on my lawn, but it's still not a good shot. He shouldn't have given in. Yes, it went in. Some of them go in occasionally. Not a high enough percentage. Get a little closer.
I love that.
Ridiculous
shot. It's still not. The game has changed so much. Even in the last 2 years, you got guys doing this. How many did you just see at the All-Star game? Did you see Lillard end the All-Star game with his shot? Oh, my goodness. Points. Yates. We'll move on. All right. Maybe you can bring him back here because I have a trivia question for you, Timmy. Clinton, the last 6-7-4 double play we saw in baseball. Anyone?
Do not know.
1993. So it's 28 years. We got one this spring. Shortstop, left field, second base, Jose Iglesias. You can see him. He makes the great catch, and it's behind the back flip to double up the second. So credit to Iglesias or blame to the runner, Tim?
I'm going to go credit Iglesias. I guess the runner thought he had no chance. That might have been a mistake there. But Iglesias does it so fast. Getting it to the left fielder, you barely even see it.
Also going to give some credit to the left fielder here for actually catching that flip that he was clearly caught off guard with and managing to make the double off play. That was the more heads-up play in that situation.
You know, when you hear something hadn't happened in 28 years, you're like, this is going to be amazing. And then you see it and you're like, yeah, it was amazing, but there's a reason why this doesn't happen often. It's kind of fluky. We'll move on. This knuckleball, nothing fluky about this. But the question is, credit to Mickey Janis for throwing it, or credit to the camera operator with the Orioles, Johnny Douglas, for capturing it like this, Clinton Yates.
I'll give a lot of credit to the camera operator, but reminder, here's something about Janis y'all don't know. 1,000 innings logged in the minors, has never seen the show, so I'm glad he's getting his props on this program today.
Timmy?
I saw Charlie Huff throw a lot of knuckleballs up close. I never saw one with that lack of spin. That is a perfect one. And I've never figured out why more guys don't try to do it. Everybody's looking for an innings eater.
Maybe they were always throwing it with that little spin, but the camera operator, Johnny Douglas, he's getting the win. And Clinton Yates will take it for him right here. 30 seconds.
In the last week, we've seen a lot of discussion about what's been happening with the monarchy in England. There's a lot of people who think this is gossip and tabloid related strictly. However, if you watch the interview with Oprah, you notice there was one point in which Meghan Markle discussed the fact that at a tennis match, something very difficult happened. Neither Oprah nor Meghan said her name. And because they were talking about her, Serena decided to chime in and she said this. I know firsthand the sexism and racism institutions in the media use to vilify women and people of color, to minimize us, to break us, and to demonize us. Listen, the bottom line is that whether or not you think what happens in England doesn't matter to us at all, it matters here for people like me. Thank you, Serena.